Welcome to the National Presbyterian Church podcast. I'm Pastor Ray Hilton, and I'd like to personally say how thrilled we are to share our sermon with you this week. If you feel encouraged by our messages, we invite you to hit the subscribe button so you will never miss an episode. Now, let's go to the National Presbyterian Church sanctuary and hear the word of the Lord.
Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament in the book of Habakkuk, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, which is found on page 764 in the Pew Bibles. Hear now the word of the Lord. Though the fig tree does not blossom, and no fruit is on the vines, though the produce of the olive fails, and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength. He makes my feet feel like the feet of a deer and makes me tread upon the heights. Thanks be to God.
Every morning, I take a walk before breakfast, and sometimes I treat myself to a Starbucks run. On one of those mornings, I decided I had to cross the street to get to the store. And so I looked carefully to my right, and there's two traffic lights on my right, and I noticed that they were red. And I also see that there's a Metro bus stopped at a bus stop. I figured I was going to be fine because of these red lights. So I darted out behind the bus and was super surprised to see that there were cars coming towards me, and they were a lot closer than I had anticipated. I was like, what? And I had to like really run really fast to get to Starbucks. And I was just puzzled like the whole time I was waiting for my drink. I'm like, why were those cars so much closer than what I thought? Because the light literally had just turned green. But then I realized because of that Metro bus, I didn't see all the cars that were at the light. And I hadn't factored that into my decision to cross right then. And so I obviously like put my life in danger, not really, but because I had incomplete and inaccurate information. I thought I saw everything, but I didn't. We might think that we know everything, and that the decisions that we make out of our base of knowledge, we're gonna be good ones. But actually, that isn't true, is it? Because we can't see every perspective. We don't know all the factors, every nuance. And we can't look around corners like God can. And that's one of the lessons from the prophet Habakkuk today. Please pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each one of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today we are closing our time of wrestling with the book of Habakkuk. And if you remember, Quinn kind of talked about it for us last week, but from the very first week, there are two questions that begin this book. How long and why? Dr. Hilton preached on the fact that God was silent in the midst of the suffering, and Habakkuk wanted to know, how long was this going to go on, and why would you do the things that you were doing? Because God told Habakkuk that those dreaded evil Babylonians were somehow going to weigh in on God's people. Habakkuk was really puzzled, and he really wrestled with that, because he had the idea that God was going to do something different. But God doesn't. God reminds him that God's ways and plans are very different from Habakkuk's. You see, God could see farther ahead, and God had a wider perspective than Habakkuk did. And God knew exactly what needed to happen to bring about the fulfillment of God's plan. I think Habakkuk and me were a little alike, because both of us made faulty assumptions with incomplete information. Habakkuk thought he understood everything, but when God told him he was going to use the Babylonians to teach the Israelites a lesson, Habakkuk couldn't believe it. And that made no sense to him, because apparently Habakkuk also had a healthy dose of pride. He thought he knew better than God. Thankfully, Habakkuk did not stay in that attitude. His hard heart melted, and his faith was renewed. We see Habakkuk's attitude towards God change in the opening verses of chapter 3. There, Habakkuk confesses that God's work inspires awe within him. Habakkuk acknowledges that God's glory covers the heavens, and the whole earth praises God's wonderful name. God is on his heavenly throne, and Habakkuk is in his rightful place, worshiping and praising God's holy name. Habakkuk has been chastened by God's reply to his complaint. And as Quinn pointed out for us last week, he prays the prayer of one who trusts God's plan. And yet the challenging circumstances around Habakkuk did not change. Trouble is still present, and we see that in the verses that Jim read for us this morning. In verse 17, there are a series of images that show that things are not going to get any better. The fig tree is barren. The olive crop fails. The seed in the fields won't grow. There's a lack of the flock and the herd, and all that portend that life for Habakkuk and the people he around him will be barren and full of despair and empty. The Babylonians will still conquer their city. Life will still be really hard, and circumstances won't improve. Obviously, this is not what Habakkuk wants, but he has set aside his own desires to focus on God, to give God praise for who God is, and to trust that God will work out everything. This attitude shift and reordered thinking helps Habakkuk manage his troubles, because he has finally rested in the faithfulness of God. That's why we see that beautiful expression of worship in verse 18. Here Habakkuk declares that despite all the terrible things that he sees going on around him, Habakkuk will rejoice in God. His faith has deepened, and he's able to trust that God is with him in those hard places, and that God's plans and God's purposes will eventually come forth, that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. Evil will not thwart God's plan. People won't ever stand in God's way, because eventually God's will shall be done. And praise God for that. And Habakkuk does. Verse 19 is the culmination of his prophetic work. Here, Habakkuk acknowledges that God is his strength. God gives Habakkuk the ability and the agility and sure-footedness of a deer so that Habakkuk can navigate his troubles. God raises up Habakkuk to a position of height, and that's both spiritually and physically. God helps Habakkuk and all who trust in God to overcome the challenges and the obstacles in life. No matter the hardship or the complexity of the problem. Here in verse 19, the believer has reached a spiritual closeness with God. And that relationship will sustain the believer no matter what comes. Habakkuk's journey of faith prompted me to wonder how a believer can go through a challenging season and not lose all hope in a God who seems to ignore the cries of the wounded and broken, or who seemingly won't save the wandering or lost. How do people of faith maintain their faith in God when they find themselves in a predicament similar to Habakkuk? When things aren't getting any better, when God doesn't improve circumstances. I was sitting in my living room thinking about that, and my eye looked to my bookcase, and I think this was God, because what caught my eye was my copy of The Hiding Place. That was a favorite book of mine when I was younger. In case some of you don't know, The Hiding Place is about a woman named Corrie ten Boom and her family. They lived in the Netherlands in the late 19th, early 20th century. Corrie was the youngest of four children, and their father was a watchmaker. Corrie's parents had a deep faith, and they raised their children to have that deep faith. They had regular Bible reading, they prayed together as a family, and they also taught their children the importance of loving others through acts of kindness and mercy. On the eve of World War II, Corrie is in her early 50s. She lives at home and she helps her father in the watch shop. But the German invasion changed things drastically. The cruelty of the Nazi regime inspired Corrie and her entire family to help their Jewish friends and neighbors. Eventually, this expands into assisting the Dutch resistance, including hiding Jews in their home. Unfortunately, an informant alerts the Gestapo to their activities, and in February 1944, Corrie, her sister Betsy, their father are arrested, along with 30 other members of their family and friends who happened to be in their home that day. Most were released, but their father died in prison 10 days after the arrest. And Corrie and Betsy were eventually transferred to Ravensbrück concentration camp in Germany. There, the sisters suffered the indignities, the depravity, and utter horror of life in a concentration camp. Many other people who've been imprisoned in those camps asked God the same questions that Habakkuk did. How long and why? But because of their deep faith in Jesus, Corrie and Betsy were able to look beyond their circumstances and help and encourage other women in their barracks. How did these sisters do that? How were they able to trust God in these most trying times? They fixed their eyes on heaven, and they focused on God's truth. Their faith was nourished by the Bible that they had smuggled into the camp. Every day they read scripture and encouraged other women around them. Betsy taught Bible studies She prayed for others, even their captors. And she had an attitude of charity and compassion and gentleness towards all. Betsy's deep trust in God's goodness and the surety of her faith sustained her. Corey was more of a work in progress, according to the book. But even then, she clung to her faith and knew that God was with them in that hell. God had not abandoned them. They saw the miracles of his presence. A smuggled Bible that went unseen by the guards. A negative and hostile attitude of the women in the barracks changed to one of kindness. Fleas that kept the guards from entering the room where Betsy read the Bible. God was with them in their captivity. And Corey and Betsy were faithful in their testimony of God's love for the women in the camp. And many of those women became Christians and followed Jesus because of the sisters' faithfulness and trust in God. Betsy died in the camp in December 1944, and Corey was released in January 1945, apparently due to a clerical error. She later found out that all the women her age were murdered a week after she was released. Corey resumed her life as best she could, and thankfully the war ended a few months later. But God had a plan for Corey. God called her to tell her story of the power of the living faith in Jesus Christ. And Corey traveled the world sharing her testimony of God's sovereign, magnificent love and the grace that can only be found in Jesus. God used the horror of a concentration camp for the glory of his name. And all through a middle-aged Dutch Christian woman who remained faithful to God despite the awful circumstances she had to endure. Now, thankfully, we aren't imprisoned in a concentration camp like Corey and her sister. And we aren't facing retribution by the Babylonians like Habakkuk and his compatriots. But we can see that people all around us are going through adversity and trials. We all know of someone who's carrying a heavy burden, poor health, a job loss, or an unsteady income, the loss of a loved one, a broken relationship, unanswered prayer. And some of us are facing these challenges as well. So how do we manage them and deal with our problems in the light of our faith? What do we do when life seems overwhelming and beyond us? The message is clear from Habakkuk. God wants us to grow in our relationship with him and to delight in who he is and what God's done. And the best way to grow that closeness isn't through the good times. It's actually, ironically, through the hard things we have to navigate. Because it is then in those hard places where we come to the end of ourselves, where we realize that we can't do what we thought. We don't have the strength. We don't have all the information to make wise decisions, and we can't control every outcome, no matter how hard we try. The only way to navigate the obstacles and trials is to turn to God and to ask for help. When I've had to journey through a season of pain and trial, I've realized that the only way to get through the difficulties, the hardness, the rawness and hurts in life is to have faith that God loves me, that God wants what's best for me, and that God will keep his promises. That conviction comes through reading God's word and praying and meeting regularly with other Christians to support and encourage me. I've seen over the years that I can trust that God will walk with me through the fire, and that eventually God will see me through my ordeals and will bless me. Because God loves us, God wants us to experience the same joy that Habakkuk did at the end of his book. God wants us to be agile and sure-footed when navigating our own problems. God wants us to know the deep contentedness of a close relationship with God, because that rich connection with God will help us and sustain us for the rest of our lives. And thankfully, we have a gift that Habakkuk did not. We know the love of Jesus Christ, and we have been given the presence of the Holy Spirit to encourage and strengthen us in our walk. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, our hardships, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril or sword will not separate us from the love of Christ. For in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. It's only through Jesus' love and mercy that we can walk this journey that we're on. We can't do it in our own power. We can't do it through our own strength of will. We can't do it through our own intelligence. We can only manage when we take up Jesus' yoke, follow him, and rest in the faithfulness of God's presence. There will be trouble ahead for all of us. We live in a fallen, sinful world. There will be pain and sorrow. There will be obstacles and adversity. God will allow hard things to come into our lives. But I hope that we can be like Habakkuk, that our faith will expand as we walk with Jesus and ask his help and guidance. And like Habakkuk, that we too will trust in God's faithfulness and rely on God's love for us. I pray that we will all be assured that God's purposes and plans for our good and for his glory will never be thwarted. And finally, because of God's mercy and goodness towards us, we can rejoice in the God of our salvation and praise God's holy name no matter what comes. Please pray with me. Thank you, merciful Lord, that you love us more than we dare comprehend. Thank you that you walk with us through our hardships and challenges. Please grow our faith in you and help us to rejoice in your love and faithfulness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We're glad that you could be with us today. If you would like more information about our church, visit our website at nationalprez.org. That's nationalprez.org. Help us spread the good news of the gospel by sharing our podcast with your friends and giving us a rating. If you haven't already, be sure to click the subscribe button. See you next week.